If you guys could just go ahead and open up your worship guide for a moment, I want to just show something to you. If you could just open that up, and on the right side, you will see that there is a sermon outline that's there. Those are going to be printed in there for you from now on, and so I just want to draw your attention to that, and so I will go through that, and then for those of you that are blessed all the more by that, you can go ahead and follow along and write stuff down in there. But then if some of you are, you know, that's not how you track and that's not how you learn and grow, that's still a visual so that you kind of know where I am going today. All right, so you guys know Michael Phelps? Okay, Michael Phelps, for those of you who don't know, he's a great swimmer. He's great at swimming, Olympic gold medalist, does really well at swimming. But here's what happened. When he was 19 years old, something happened in Maryland. He was driving drunk and he got pulled over. So he got a DUI. So this was kind of like the first controversy for his life. And then, you know, after it happened, Michael Phelps said, "I'm sorry. You know, that was inappropriate. I shouldn't be doing that." Now, fast forward 5 years into the future, there was a photo that emerged, and it was posted on social media. Who would have guessed? But it was posted on social media, and it was a picture of Michael Phelps smoking marijuana out of a water bomb. So, obviously, there were consequences the first time when he was 19. There were consequences the second time when he was 24, but then he said, "Sorry, this is inappropriate. This is not what I want to do. This is not what I want to be about." Fast forward 5 years into the future again, he's 29 years old, and now we're talking about just 2 years ago, 2014, and he's driving in Maryland again, and he's drunk, and he's speeding, and he gets pulled over again. DUI again. And he says, "I'm sorry. This is just not who I want to be. This is not what I want to do." My question for you is, why couldn't he change? Why couldn't he do the things that he wanted to do? Why do you and I have trouble changing? Why can't you guys change? Why can't I change? Why can't you improve? Why can't I improve? So far, Romans has said, chapters 1 through 5, this is a summary of what we have said so far, is that in the first 5 chapters, it has been about what God has done for us, that God sent his son Jesus, and that he made atonement for your sin and my sin, that he rose again from the dead for your sin and my sin, and that by faith, you are declared righteous in his sight. So God has saved you. He's done all of the work. Thanks be to God. But then the next 3 chapters, chapters 6 through 8, and that's kind of where we're landing right now and where we're going, is it's about what God's doing in you. That you have new life now. You have the power of the Spirit now. You have everything that you need. And see, last 2 weeks, for those of you who missed, and if you missed, you can also check it, the video or audio online, just to review. But Paul said, you're married to Jesus now. You have the Spirit now. You have the ability to be a slave to God now, a slave to righteousness. You're under grace. You're not under the law. So my question is, in the past 2 weeks, did you sin less than before? Because see, Paul gave you guys all the tools, right? He gave me all the tools. What's the problem? We're not doing what we want to do, are we? We're not living out who we're supposed to be. There's a problem. Now, Paul is going to tell you what isn't the problem, and then he's going to tell you what is. Okay, so first let's start here then, and we'll walk back over what Derek read in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 7 and then verse 12. He says this, "What then shall we say? The law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. So the first fill in the blank for you is that the law is good. The law isn't the problem. Verse 12 also says this. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Okay, so we're not spiritually married to the law, but the law is righteous and it's holy and it's good. Now, I remember having a conversation with one of my friends at seminary, and his wife was like, how can we say that the law is good if all it ever does is show me I stink? Like, how can it be a good thing? But see, Michael Phelps needs to know the law, doesn't he? The law is a good law. It's the law of God. And it's actually deeper when it comes to drinking. God's law is, hey, do not be filled with drunkenness or intoxication, because it's going to be hard for you to worship me and think about me. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's God's law. And see, we need to agree with that. Michael Phelps needs to agree first with the law and say, yes, I can't drink and drive. That's going to put my life in jeopardy. That's going to put other people's lives in jeopardy. So the first thing that we must do is say, yes, the law is good. It's from God. It's not a bad thing. It's for my good. It's for human flourishing in my life and in society. But see, the problem will come, though, is if you just say, I don't want to hear it. If you say, I don't want to hear God's law. I don't want to hear about God's design. I don't want to hear about how God has given for me for human flourishing. Well, then I remember like a conversation with one guy, and kind of that was his thought process, and we were going back and forth, but he would just say, don't tell me the law, just tell me the gospel. And so you can go into that mindset, and then it could lead you to shut down any time you ever hear about God's law. But what did the psalmist say this morning? Said that God's law is good. It's beautiful. It's perfect. It's his design. It's a good thing. It's not the problem. Also, if you go into the direction, I remember another conversation with one man. He said, don't preach to me the law. That's all legalistic. Don't tell me about that. And then what it was leading him to was just to justify his sin. And see, that's where it can go. If you just say, the law is the problem, I don't like it, it can lead you down that path. And if that's our perspective, then we'll never change. Will Michael Phelps ever change if he just disagrees with it? Obviously, he won't. And so, what's the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law is to show you your sin and drive you to Jesus Christ. And see, that's good. See, because if you don't know that you're a sinner, if you don't know that you're fallen, if you don't know that you're lost on your own, then you're going to stay on your own. You're going to stay doing things your way, as opposed to seeking a savior from sin and death and starting to do things his way. But I'll tell you this. What happens, though, if all you have is the law? That's all you know. That's all you have. Well, Paul will tell you what the problem is if that's all you have. Romans 7, verses 8 through 11, it says this. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment of thou shalt not covet, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Wait a sec. The more I hear don't covet, the more it's exposing and even eliciting covetousness. We need something else. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. There was a boy, and he didn't really have a very nice house, but he would go to his friend's house, and he had a mansion. Okay, so beautiful floors, beautiful property. His house was only like one story, but this house was like three stories. Okay, so not only was there this nice, beautiful house, but there was also kind of this other structure on the property that was kind of like the mother-in-law suite. Okay, so it was another structure. Bathroom, shower, everything you needed there, and an outdoor pool. Do you guys like outdoor pools? I like outdoor pools. So basically, it had all these things. But see, in his mind, though, he knows that the law says, thou shalt not covet. So he agrees with that, because he's a Christian. I don't need to covet. God wants me to be content with what I have. God doesn't want me to compare. But what's sin saying inside? You're coveting. You really do want that. You need that to be happy. And so there's a war going on inside. But see, the more he's hearing, thou shalt not covet, the more it's exposing a covetous heart. See, so it's not that simple. It's not that easy. If all you have is the law, you're in trouble. Your parents taught you, I'm sure they did, that you shouldn't drink until you're 21 years old, because that's the law, right? So how did you do with that? And then you taught, you're teaching your children, and some of you, they're older than 21 now. Hey, you're not supposed to drink until you're 21, because that's the best thing for your flourishing in society. How is that going? See, I think what Scripture is saying is that the more you think that proclaiming thou shalt not is going to produce anything, what Scripture is saying, it actually could produce the opposite response. It kind of makes you want to do it behind your parents' back, right? Because it's forbidden. I want to do what's forbidden. St. Augustine, 5th century church father, he's a pastor, basically he said that the law is kind of like the flow of water on a stream. Okay, it's flowing harder and harder against a rock. And the more it flows harder against the rock, the more you see resistance. And then he told this story. He said, there was one night where he was a teenage boy, and I guess this is what teenage boys did back in the 5th century. But he had a nice vineyard. He had a nice garden. He had nice fruit trees in his garden, nice pear trees. Aren't pears great? He had nice pear trees, but his neighbor had a really nice pear tree. So, now, I don't know what you guys snuck out of your house for, but St. Augustine, now this is before he was a Christian now. Him and his friends said, we're going to sneak out tonight. And they went over to the neighbor's house. They saw that pear tree. And what did they do? They said, this is forbidden. So it just feels good to do it. Why is everything that's bad, doesn't make me feel so good? So he just shook that pear tree. Him and his friends shook. All the pears fell on the ground. They shook them. They got all the pears in a basket. And then there were some pigs nearby. And they just fed them to the pigs. See, now, he said, you know, I had pears of my own that were even better than that guy's pears. But why did they do it? So it's just, it was forbidden. And I needed to do it because it made me feel good. But see, now, as a Christian, he feels ashamed. But if all you have is the law, it's going to show you your sin. It's going to expose to you your sin. And it may even make you want to be rebellious and do things that you know you're not supposed to. So my exhortation to you then on the basis of this unit in Romans 7, verses 7 through 12, is basically this. You will never grow if all you focus on is the law and all you focus on is sin. If you just say, hey, I'm not going to covet, I'm not going to covet, I'm not going to covet, Well, guess what you're going to do? And so now Paul is going to tell you what the root problem is. It's not the law, it's something else. Romans 7, verses 13 through 17, Paul says this. Did that which is good then bring death to me? He's referring to the law. By no means. It was sin. Sin is the problem inside of us, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment become sinful beyond measure. So if you're filling out your outline, we're at the second fill in the blank. The battle against sin is hard, but what you're going to see from this is that it's good. It's good. And he says this, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. Wait a second. Did Paul just say this? We just read Romans 6. What happened in Romans 7? For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law, that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. That's what's doing it. Hey, does this sound familiar, this struggle? Does this battle sound familiar? I hope so, because this is every Christian's battle. If you are a Christian, you should be battling sin. If you're not, then that means you probably don't care about sin that much, and you're probably just like living it up and indulging in it and don't care. But see, every Christian desires deeply, their deepest desire is to carry out the will of God. You can see that in Paul's words. He has that desire. He wants to do what's right. He knows what's right. If anybody knows the law the best, if anybody knows the Bible the best, it's Paul. But he says, I'm having trouble carrying this out. Isn't this battle annoying, you guys? This is an annoying life. Like, this is annoying. I want to have self-control. But I said that again. I want to have self-control. I ate that again. All right, so we want to do something, but then we're not doing what we want to do. So Paul's trying to get something across to us. But the problem is sin inside of us. This is Martin Luther's famous phrase based on Romans 6 and Romans 7, that you are simultaneously, as a Christian, righteous and a sinner at the same time. Now, some of you maybe have a trouble with two truths that are paradoxical being true at the same time. But I want to encourage you that this is just the way it is. You are righteous before God by faith, but you are a sinner as long as you have this body. But you struggle. But you battle. And God produces humility in you. There's a woman, and she struggles with fear. Okay, that's one of her struggles as when it comes to sin. So she struggles with anxiety. And see, now, the more Scripture says, fear not, and the more she grows in her understanding of that teaching biblically, what can happen? It can cause you to grow in your awareness of your own sin. I want to hear this, you guys. When you are growing more in awareness of your own sin, you are growing. Because it's going to lead you to humility. It's going to lead you to the cross of Jesus Christ. So the more she is aware of it from a biblical perspective, it helps her to be humble before God. Which, if you can't be humble before God, then you're in trouble. But the invitation is then, like after the sermon, what do? We confess our sins to God. See, because we need to do that. Also, you will need to, at some point, to confess your sin to somebody else. Maybe the person sitting next to you about something, because that's how God works, to bring you to humility. And also, because we're all in this boat, we're all in this struggle, does it make you have compassion upon other people that are battling sin too? I hope it does. you're not any better. They're battling, we're battling. They're addicted, you're addicted to something else. We all have a sinful nature. We all are being brought low by God so that he will exalt us by the power of the gospel. But here's what I want you to hear, because this is where I think Paul ties it together. And we're still on the second unit in your outline. But Romans 7, verse 22 and 23, he says this. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. You delight in God's will. You know it's good. In your mind, you know it's right. And you have a desire to make every effort to live it out. And that's why this is a hard battle. Verse 23, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. And so basically, how then will you grow in your perspective? How will you grow as a Christian is you need to focus here. The more your thinking grows, the more your living and lifestyle will change. Okay, so this is what Paul will later say in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Check this out. He says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so, what is Paul teaching us there? The renewal has to happen here in how you think. So for this woman, in her battle with fear, what was being taught to her is this. The more you fear, the more you're trusting in Satan and not in God. See, so now, her mind's being renewed. She's growing in how she's thinking about this. Also, there's that passage in 2 Corinthians that says Paul was struck down but not destroyed. He was persecuted, but not abandoned. So she said, you know what? I may be struck down, but I'm not destroyed. I may be having trouble, but I'm not abandoned. See, so she's growing in her perspective. Now, but here's what I want to tell you on the basis of this passage. We still don't win the battle in this life from a reality perspective as long as we're in this body. But spiritually, what's Paul trying to tell you? The victory has been won through Jesus Christ. And so while you're in the battle, you know that the battle has already been won for you and in you by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as you are brought low in your awareness of your sin, it should lead you to depend and trust in the cross more and more for your salvation. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to summarize everything I've said, and then I'm going to point you forward to January, where we're going. So Phil, Todd, Sandy, who else did I say? Kevin, and Dave, come up here. We're going to do a little illustration to summarize all this. So, Phil, on the step. Kevin, here. Dave, you're kind of like right here.
Oh.
Yeah. Todd, you're up top. Right here. You're kind of, yeah, you can kind of be so they can see you there. Yeah, that's fine. Sandy, you're here. Okay, so basically, this is Todd, okay? Todd's a complicated person, okay? Todd, within Todd, there's three realities, okay? So within Todd is the first reality. This is what Paul calls his body, but he also refers to it as his flesh, okay? So his sinful nature. So this is Todd's sinful nature right here. Okay, now, right here is Todd's mind. Okay? Yeah. This is Todd's mind. So in Todd's mind, this is, represents what he knows to be good, what he knows to be right, what he knows to be wrong. So this is his mind. Okay, now here, it represents Todd's spirit. Okay, so this is his spirit inside of him. And so now, Sandy, can you act like you're sleeping right now? Okay, so now, before the Spirit of God comes into Todd's life, this is his spirit. It's dead. But, Todd, can you call out to Jesus?
Jesus, come into my life.
Okay, he's calling out to Jesus. The Holy Spirit now has made Todd's spirit alive, and the Bible says that now he has new life. He is born anew by the power of the Holy Spirit living in him, by calling on Jesus by faith. Okay, so again, this is his body, his flesh. This is his mind who wants to do what's right and is good. And then this is his new regenerated spirit. Regenerated means that it was dead, but now it's alive. But then who is this? This is the law right here. Okay, so. Okay, so that's what the law sometimes says, you know. So the law represents, it's external to Todd, but it represents the teachings of God, the will of God. Okay, so the law is going to come to Todd with something. Okay, so like Todd, he didn't grow up with a lot of money, okay? But Todd really loves BMWs. He really loves BMWs. Okay, so now the law's coming external to Todd and saying, thou shalt not covet. Okay? Thou shalt not covet. Okay, now, so this is what's happening external. So in his mind, he knows that this is right. He shouldn't covet, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, but then the sinful nature is coming a little closer.
This is not comfortable for me. It's supposed to not be comfortable.
And what's the sinful nature doing right now?
Wanting a BMW.
You really want the BMW.
A little bit.
So it's kind of this back and forth, right? Okay, but now there is a helper that you're going to hear about in Romans chapter 8 in the new year. This is where we're going. There is the Holy Spirit. So, Todd, can you call out to the Holy Spirit and Jesus to help you in this situation?
Jesus, help me with this decision.
Okay. So, Holy Spirit now, need to come closer to the mind now. Okay. See, so now the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to teach you about this. I want to help you. I want to give you new thoughts about this. So to help you. So what do we need to do as Christians? This is what we're going to learn in Romans 8. We don't want to set our minds here. We want to set our mind here. We don't want to depend here. We want to depend here. See, this is you. This is us. This is our reality. So, my question is who are you feeding? This animal? Or are you feeding here? Okay. Now, what is over Todd's head in this illustration? The more Todd calls out to Jesus by faith, the Holy Spirit's activated in his life. The more he trusts in God, the more he has faith, the Holy Spirit's activated, and there's more joy, and there's more peace, and dependence upon God for everything that he needs. Okay. The Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit gives you power to do the things you can't do on your own strength with this guy. Okay, so now, now, I want to do this. Imagine that Todd was a non-believer. Dave, sit down. Thank you. You can sit down. Okay.
There's no law.
Okay. Okay. Sandy, go back to sleep. If you are not, if you have not been born again as a Christian, your life is guided by your mind and your feelings based upon what you think is right. So there's no law. There's no God's word, scripture, law, nothing. It's just mind and this guy. And that's all you have. See, but now, when you repent of sin and you call out to Jesus, you're born again. And now this represents what? When this is made alive, when the Spirit of God comes in you and you're made alive, this is what represents eternal life. When you're made alive with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are made alive forever. Hear these scriptures. Romans 7, verse 24 says this: "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 also talks about deliverance. "Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." This is what the Advent season is about. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. "Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power." This is what Jesus is coming to do. This is what he has done. And this is what he will do in the end for you and for me. Here are your application questions for today. How does this passage of scripture make you appreciate the good news about Jesus even more in your life? And then second, how does it make you desire to fan into flame the Holy Spirit living inside of you? And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and guard your minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we did something we don't normally do to these people today, so let's give thanks to God for them.